I've been going through the Sermon on the Mount in a series that I've called Hearing the Heart of Christ. And this Sermon on the Mount is a place where we really get a glimpse into Christ's view on many topics. And so far, we have seen him look at different laws. And Jesus helps us to see how important it is for us to have a heartfelt desire to be pleasing to the Lord. It might be easy with laws just to say, I'm following this law, I'm doing it, and it's all about the doing. But Jesus is helping us to really see that it's more than just the doing, it's what's in the heart and how you're doing it and why you're doing it. Laws can regulate behaviors, but Jesus wants us to know that our attitudes, our motivations, our hearts are really important as we follow him. We live in a world, but we're not of it. We live in this world, but as followers of Christ, our true citizenship is in heaven. We're like foreigners in this world. And I think the more that we come to know Christ and the closer we get to following him and being like him in his example, the more we're going to realize we just don't really fit in here. We don't fit. Last week we saw that having a generous heart is important, and in our generosity we should not be seeking praise or attention from others. The only attention we should be looking for is that of our Heavenly Father. And Jesus hits on kind of this little section that we're here in chapter 6, he hits on three activities. Generosity, what we looked at last week. Prayer, which we'll be looking at today. And then fasting, we'll be looking at in a couple of weeks. But the umbrella passage for this little section in chapter 6 is actually found in verse 1. Of chapter 6. I call it the umbrella passage or the umbrella verse because it is the thought that Jesus hits on when speaking of giving, prayer, and fasting. So if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, and we'll be reading that again today. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. I mentioned last week that it's not necessarily saying that your acts of righteousness cannot be seen by others. Because if we are truly following Christ and making a daily routine of following Him, our acts of righteousness are inevitably going to be seen. But the issue comes in when the motivation for doing these things, like giving, praying, and fasting, is to be seen. The motivation is that others will see you. The motivation is not growing closer to the Lord or following Him. It is actually to gain recognition and praise by others. And we can ask ourselves, would I still do this? Would I still give to the needy or to the poor? Would I still pray or would I still fast if nobody knew I was doing it? If we're solely looking for praise from others, looking for attention, then that's all the reward we will get. In fact, such a motivation does not draw us closer to the Lord, but further from Him, because our motivation is to increase ourself, to puff up self rather than to increase the Lord and bring Him glory, honor, and praise. You see, I need to decrease so that God may increase in me. And today we're going to be looking at prayer. So if you want to go ahead and turn ahead a few verses. I'll be looking at Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 5. Matthew 6:5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. When your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Well, there's a lot in this section of Scripture. Some things will probably be a little better understood with some explanation. Yet I think it is important to understand what prayer is. What is prayer? I often say that prayer is simply communicating with God. Prayer is speaking with and sharing with God what's on your heart. It is giving Him thanks, it's praising Him, and also requesting or interceding on our needs and the needs of others before God. Though we often understand prayer as us speaking, because it's communication, it is also taking time to listen. But at the heart of prayer, I believe it is really taking the time to have intimate communion with God. It's getting closer to the Lord in relationship. So in verse 5, Jesus says, and when you pray, verse 5 says, and when you pray, it's kind of interesting that it's not really a suggestion that if you pray, pray like this. You will pray. That's the expectation. You will be in prayer. Remember, the same was last week when giving to the needy. It wasn't if you give, it is when you give. And today it is when you pray. The expectation is that you will be involved in prayer in some form. You will be taking time to be in prayer. And so Jesus says, when you are in prayer, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. Jesus is referring to the ultra-religious actors, often the Pharisees and the scribes. He calls them hypocrites. And I spoke on this last week too, but the word for hypocrite is something like a play actor wearing a costume and a mask. This play actor is putting on a show, but will ultimately stop the act, take off the costume and the mask, and reveal that everything was just a performance and it wasn't real. Jesus is saying, when you pray, don't be like the actors who pray to be seen by men. The prayers of these people was for the sole purpose of being seen and heard. The prayer was for an audience. You see, for the Pharisees, they prided themselves on their piousness, their devotion to the law. See, at that time when Jesus was sharing this, even before that, it was customary to have three times of prayer a day. They would pray in the morning, there'd be another time in the afternoon, and another time in the evening. And a prideful, pious Pharisee would just happen to be walking down the street in front of everyone when all of a sudden his Apple Watch would ding and say, it's time to pray. And since he's so pious, he would stop where he was at and begin praying out loud so that everybody around him could look and see that is a very righteous person, because they won't even walk down the road a little further and have their prayer in a different place. They will stop where they're at. It's an act. The time of prayer was set aside. We see Daniel, he prayed three times a day in his room. But for the Pharisees, it became, I want everybody to see how godly I am, that I will not waste a second that I should be praying. You see, the problem was, is their time of prayer was never about having communion with their Heavenly Father. It was never about drawing closer to the Lord. It wasn't about spending time with God. It wasn't about communicating with Him. Instead, it was simply a show that they could keep the laws, they could keep the traditions, they could keep their timeline. They completely missed the mark because their hearts were never geared to worship God. They worshiped the laws, they worshiped the traditions, and they fed their pride and their egos by playing the part well of a religious person. They played the part of being godly, but God was far from them. The applause, the praise, the compliments that they might have received from those who noticed them, that was their only reward they would get. You see, God's not in the show business. It's not about the show. He's in the heart business and in the relationship business. He wants real, and He wants you, and He wants a relationship with you. Not a bunch of good-looking play actors. That's not what He's about. Think about that, though. An intimate relationship with the Lord, our Creator, is something attainable for us. We can have it. We should strongly desire to have it. Jeremiah 29:13 says, Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. The religious ones kind of forgot that part. Instead, they sought laws and regulations and not the relationship at the heart. These so-called religious ones, they use prayer as a way to gain approval from others instead of connecting with God. I'd like to read out of Luke 18:10, a story of two men who went up to the temple to pray. Luke 18:10 says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and he prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector right here. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. That's a prayer. Verse 13. But the tax collector, he stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, sinner. When Jesus says in verse 14, I tell you that this man, that tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. I would venture to guess that that Pharisee who stood up and prayed out loud, I'm assuming he prayed that out loud so that everybody could hear how good he was. so that others could hear him brag about himself. Is that what God is looking for? No, but the tax collector likely prayed his prayer privately before the Lord. A man who is broken, a man who is full of sorrow. And Jesus helps us to see the difference. Jesus highlighted the poor example in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 6. But in verse 6, Jesus tells his disciples a better way. What's the better way? Verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I think many people feel that Jesus is speaking out against all public prayer. But that's simply not the case. There are many examples of corporate and public prayer in Scripture. What we do on Sunday, like this morning, we prayed for prayer requests and we gave thanks to the Lord. That's corporate together and public. It is us as a church praying together. Usually in these types of cases, you'll have one leading the prayer, others agreeing or praying something similar and silent. Jesus himself prayed publicly many times. Many times. He taught others to pray publicly, which we're going to see next week in what we call the Lord's Prayer. Not to mention the apostles and disciples prayed publicly and even wrote down their prayers in many of the letters that we now have as the New Testament. Yet Jesus is referring to the hypocritical public prayers spoken to attract attention. The people who are making a performance of their prayers is who he is speaking against. Are there people today who would struggle with that same problem? Praying publicly for attention? I would say absolutely. It might not be in a synagogue. Well, it could be in a synagogue, but it certainly happens in churches. It may be happening on street corners, but it's definitely happening on YouTube, Facebook, and social media sites. How many views did I get today? Did you hear me pray? Here, I'll send you a link. You can watch me. It has to happen. Because the same sin that was struggled with a long time ago is still here today. Nothing's changed. So Jesus concludes, go into a private place, close the door so that temptation to be seen won't be there. Just spend some one-on-one time with your Heavenly Father in prayer. You know what I find interesting? How many homes in the time of Jesus had separate rooms, had private rooms? You know something? There wasn't a whole lot. There wasn't a whole lot of homes that would have had separate rooms. We read this and we think a prayer closet, or we think of a special room that we set aside for prayer. But most of the people in that time would not have had separate rooms to go to, doors to close. It appears that Jesus is simply making an exaggerated statement in order to make the point, make sure to spend time in prayer alone with the Father. Don't just talk about prayer, be in prayer. Don't just look the part of being a prayer, go and be with your Heavenly Father. And I think Jesus has given us many times, many examples where Jesus retreated to private times of prayer. He did it many times. We see in Luke 6, chapter 6:12, an example of that. One of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Though Jesus wasn't condemning public prayer, he was stating the importance of having that alone time with God. And I'm going to say one thing here. You cannot have a public prayer life without a private one. You cannot have a public prayer life if you do not have a private one. Because it is your private time with God that is growing your relationship with Him. We need the close relationship with the Father. That is the most important. And I would say that if we're going to pray in front of others, which it's okay to do, we see other examples in Scripture, like prayer in church, and we can have prayer time in small groups, we can have prayer time together in Bible studies, prayer time in meetings or before meetings, prayer time together is good. We need to have that. But let our prayers that we may say in public be the same type of prayer that we would have in our private time with the Lord. Now, we all pray differently. We all do, which is good. But if we notice that we pray very different in front of others than we do in our private time with the Lord, why is that? Why would that be? Because if we're trying to impress others, we should probably step away from praying in front of others then. If we pray a little differently because it's uncomfortable and we're a little nervous about stepping out, well, that happens to all of us. We are just communicating with our Father, and we don't need lavish language. We don't need to pray in King James language, okay? Now, if that's how you pray in your private time, then that should be how you pray in public, okay? But if you think you need to pray in this different type of language in order to be heard by God, He's not interested. He wants to hear your heart. We don't need to appear righteous. He knows. He knows where we're at. We are simply speaking to the Lord and speaking to Him with our hearts, using our everyday words and language. And that leads me to the next part of our passage today in verse 7 of chapter 6. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Not only did Jesus speak against those who prayed to gain attention, He also spoke against those who felt they could force God's hand through their words or their chants. In the time of Jesus, there were many different religions, pagan religions, that chanting things over and over and over, believing that they could force their God or gods to action. Through repetition, or maybe even the precise order of precise spoken words. Don't be like them. Don't be like those who think they can force or manipulate God to action. Now, many of us would think, I don't do that. I haven't ever done something like that. And that might be true. Many of us have not been exposed to different religious practices. Yet, we also know that we are influenced by other things around us. We might be influenced to compare ourselves with others, whether near us or on television, shows, movies. I think we can also compare ourselves to just those we come in contact with. We see or hear someone elegantly pray, and we walk away thinking we are inadequate to pray. because we're comparing ourselves to someone else. Maybe you know someone who seems to just pray with such ease and you wish that you could be like them and pray just like them. And I'm going to tell you right now, no! When you pray, be real. You don't need to try and pray like someone else. Pray like you. Don't try to be like someone else and impress God or others with your prayer. This is a conversation between you and the Lord. Be real. There might be a time that you will be like a tax collector from the story earlier, and all you can get out in your time of prayer is, God, forgive me. Maybe all you can get out is, Lord, I need you. Whatever it is, God already knows, but He wants to hear your heart. Don't try to guess what God wants to hear, because He's telling you He wants to hear your heart. He wants to hear you. He wants you to spend time with Him. Will you commit to spending time with the Lord? Will you commit to spending time in prayer? Will you? The closer we get to the Lord, we'll have some times that we often go to prayer. I would say there are times that we build routines, that we routinely go to prayer here and on this day or at this time. But there's also an ongoing conversation that we need to be having with our Lord throughout the day. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, I'm pretty sure I didn't think I had it up here, but I do. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Apostle Paul calls for followers to pray continually or to pray without ceasing. Obviously, it cannot mean that we are to be in a head bowed, eyes closed posture all day long. God's not referring to nonstop talking, but rather an attitude of God consciousness and God surrender that we carry with us all day, all the time. Every waking moment is to be lived in awareness that God is with us and He is actively involved and engaged in our thoughts and actions. And when we have that close relationship with Him, we might be talking with Him throughout the day. But we have that close relationship. We'll want to be spending time with Him. It's a great place to be when we have that closeness to our Savior. Because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, we can have that close relationship with the Father. And today we're taking communion and remembering the sacrifice of Jesus. He enables us to pray. He enables us to spend time with our Heavenly Father. And because of Him, we have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. Because of Christ's body that was broken and His blood that was shed, the curtain in the temple tore. Now, if you remember that story where the after Jesus died, there's an earthquake and in the temple shook, and the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place, it tore. Symbolic that we no longer have to go through a priest. We no longer have to go through anybody. We can go directly to our Lord. We can have with Him at any moment. We can have time with Him. We can speak to Him at any time. And I want to say, don't take that for granted. Don't miss opportunities to grow your relationship with Him by not spending time with your Lord who wants to spend time with you. Don't take it for granted. Because Jesus paid for it. He brought that.